It's now our pleasure to be able to introduce Brother Tom Treziak from Valparaiso, Indiana. And Brother Tom was telling me last night that he has, over the years, been at this convention four times. So he certainly is not a stranger to us. We, at this time, will call on Brother Tom, and his subject is His Perfect Word.
Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
I was out in the forest sleeping, 40 miles north or so, and I slept like a baby. I didn't hear anything. When you get away from the areas where there's a city, you realize how wonderful God's green earth is. And you certainly have a green place. I was sitting listening to that wonderful talk before this, and I pulled out the wrong program. Here's 2005. But you know, the memories we have, when we look back at our experiences with the brethren, they're like jewels that God has given us. And they should make us smile. Because there's some detail at every place we meet the brethren that we remember. And God wants us to have that detail for some reason. Sometimes it's in the future when we use it. His perfect word is my topic. The harmony in the scriptures. I'm not very musical, but I love music. I try to sing, but my voice doesn't go up and down very well. I was never trained, but I enjoy doing it. And I have always, since I was a young boy, liked to stand up and sing real loud at the conventions because I could. And I think that's what the brethren have always called making joyful noise. I bring you the love of our class in Valparaiso, Indiana. There's about eight of us usually. There's one other elder beside myself, Brother John Dutro. He's 91 years old and he still drives. And his mind still works real good. The title, His Perfect Word, Harmony in the Scriptures. God has His own fixed plans and purposes. We know that. God has a plan. Whenever we try to do something, no matter what it is, take a trip, change something in our home, anything. If we don't plan it, doesn't work out very well. Should we write it down? Yes. Should we draw pictures of it? Yes. Should we take photographs of something like it? Yes. Anything that can help us to see God's plan, we should do. Is it visual? Yes. Extremely. The writers of this book were inspired by God. And it's in harmony. I'm amazed by the Old Testament writings. Many of the things written in the Old Testament are in the New Testament. Why? That's how we run to and fro, don't we? Before Christ, after Christ. And there's harmony in that. If we are to receive the riches of His blessings, it is essential that we order our lives in keeping with His will. We were hearing that in that talk this morning, weren't we? Why? There's chaos around us. But it's not here in this room. Why? Because we're all saying, get thee behind me. We won't let him in. And God knows it. Doesn't he try to sneak in? Yes. He's always trying to crack the door open and mess up the harmony. I marvel at how someone can sit down at a piano and make these do all something different at the same time and come out with a beautiful noise. And not look at the keys. I don't know how that happens. We need to pray for understanding, brother. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Fourth chapter of Hebrews, in a 16th verse. Here is what he admonishes us to do. Boldly go to the throne of grace. For what? To obtain mercy and find grace. For what? To help us in every time of need. Is the adversary becoming more wily? Did you have an easy time getting here? Were there any stumbling stones or roadblocks? Anything he can do, he's going to try to slow us down, isn't he? But he's not going to accomplish that. How much can you see when you close your eyes? Close them for a second. You can see God in there, can't you? You can see our Lord. And if you pray, you're talking to them. That's why he says, bow your head. Close your eyes. Because your eyes see so much that they can confuse you. Sometimes you're not really seeing what you need to see. Think about a blind person. What their life is like. They can't read a book. His perfect word, this could only refer to God. Because everything he does is perfect. And through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord says in Isaiah 55, verse 11, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. Does God send his word to you? Yes. And he wants you to do something with it. He wants it to prosper. I never thought I'd be doing this, brethren, but I'm comfortable doing it now. The Lord said, sit down, Tom. Open the Bible. Find something that's a lesson and write it down. And then say it out. I wondered how, when I was young, someone got up there in front and could be calm and could be, you know, in control and speak for an hour. God shows us how, brother. Step out there. You'd be surprised how you can help and what you can do. The meaning of that statement, that it shall accomplish what he pleases and it shall prosper, that regardless of the distressing conditions throughout the world today, God's arrangements are steadily being completed. Not too fast, not too in his time, not our time. We say, oh, it's got to be pretty soon. What's that mean to God? Wait on the Lord. That's what he says to us. Wait. Keep on doing what you're doing. You need this convention. Make sure you have it. Come together with the brethren. Up here where all the tall green grass grows, you can find a quiet spot. We have it kind of hard down there around Chicago. It's not very quiet. Acts 15:18, the apostle says, "The known unto God are all, that known unto God are all the works from the beginning of the world." He took this planet. It's not like any other. I don't care what all the scientists do. They can send rockets anywhere. They're not going to find a place like this, are they? This is what God made for our habitation, for mankind to be here. We're not going anywhere else. Multiply and fill the earth. You think we're getting there? You know, when God fixes this earth and tilts it right where it needs to be, we're going to have plenty of room. There's lots of room in Canada. I just couldn't believe, driving across that highway, coming west, how gorgeous the views are. It goes to the horizon everywhere, left, right. It's just, and what a picture. I guess if you live here, you get used to it. But we don't see it that often. Isaiah 46:9-10. Remember the former things of old. 46:9-10. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So we don't need to be in a hurry. God's going to do everything he tells us he's going to do. Where is he telling us? In here. And we have different versions. And then our dear pastor helps us to understand what we're looking at with volumes of information. And we read it all and then we have to do something. We have to find the prospective members of the body of Christ. That's our job. Ephesians 3:11. The Apostle Paul, reading from the Diaglot, speaks of a plan of the ages. First time I saw that scripture, there it is. That's what we're talking about all the time. I was young, I saw it. Gee, it's right there. A plan which has for its central figure God's Son, Jesus. God is the architect. What does that make Jesus? Maybe he's the foreman. And he gets the plans from the Heavenly Father. Son, I need you to do this. My father had four sons, and he'd tell us what to do, and boy, would we mess it up. But not Jesus, perfect, complete. And when he came to this earth, brethren, he was here. He'd close his eyes and pray, and God would give him the strength to do whatever he had to do. He talked to kings and leaders and simple man. He walked around everywhere. Didn't go very far. They were threatened by him. And he said, he's not threatening. I don't see anything wrong with it. You know, do what you want with him. He's not bothering me. I have an army. Does God have an army? You're part of his army, brethren. You want to be like Christ. That's what God wants. Be Christ-like. Ephesians 1:10 indicates, Ephesians 1:10, where he describes what will be done in the fullness of times. In the fullness of times. It's interesting how things are worded in the scriptures, isn't it? Let's go to the second chapter in Ephesians 2:7. Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come he will show the exceeding riches of his grace towards us. The work the apostle emphasizes to be completed is described as gathering together in one all things in Christ. Christ is the nucleus for us. We have to form that perfect unity with Christ. Why is he the example? He was a man. What it must have been like for those chosen apostles to be next to him and listen to him. And they were confounded by him, but he was perfect. It's hard to imagine a perfect man. We see a real handsome-looking man, or we see a real pretty woman. He was both of those, and he was as beautiful as he could be. That's overwhelming when we start to think, what was he like? If we would look at it, how do you depict that? Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he will show the exceeding riches of his grace out toward us. The work of the apostle emphasizes to be completed in as described as the gathering together in one all things in Christ. This means that no previous time in history of the human race should we expect to see all things in harmony with Christ. It's going to happen one time. When? Still in the future, isn't it? How far? We don't know how to measure it, but it's not too far. Is it in your lifetime? Is it in my lifetime? Is it in the lifetime of the babies in Sunday school? You see how we think? Human beings think in terms of a year, a month, a day. What's a day like in the time of our Heavenly Father? Creative day. Is the earth still being formed? Let's consider what the people of the present time refer to as the ending of the world. This subject should take on an important meaning to all who are interested in what the world of tomorrow is to be. If you're going to be one of God's soldiers, you're going to work helping to make sure that world tomorrow is exactly the way God wants it to be. It's going to run exactly in perfect harmony. So that's what you're training to do. Jesus uses wheat and tares, sheep and goats, to illustrate those who serve. Those who pretend to serve or oppose him try to get into that idea, and they can't penetrate it. They try all different ways. Jeremiah 22:29, he uses the terms earth and heaven to illustrate phases of organized society called worlds. Earth and heaven. Where's heaven? How high is it? He's all around us, isn't he? You know, brethren, if you think wrong, he jogs your mind a little bit. And then you think, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't even have thought that. He knows our thoughts. Peter speaks of the heavens and the earth that were before the flood, describing that they made up the world that then was, the world of yesterday. That world came to an end at the time of the flood, but the earth itself was not destroyed. Ecclesiastes 1:4. How long is the earth going to be here? The earth will abide forever. Isaiah 45:5 chapter in the 18th verse, tells us that God did not create the earth in vain, but formed it to be inhabited. Again, brethren, there's no other place like this. Why are those other planets up there? We don't know yet. Be interesting to find out, though. The church is going to know. Restoration to everlasting life upon this earth is God's design. When we think of something being restored, we think of something we can touch, we can feel, we can see it with our eyes. And if it's done well, it works well, or it's beautiful, and it's pleasing. It's strange. I think about things like roads. We're coming here, and they have an interstate system in the United States. Well, we come up here, and they have this four-lane highway, and they have something I think they call hard pack on it, and they're changing it all the time and trying to make it work because the earth is, it's not perfect yet, is it? And it moves, and it's real cold up here, and it's real hot down there. It's way out of balance. And I look at those roads and I say, well, That's a good idea, because when the earth moves and stuff, that stuff moves a little bit too. It doesn't crack and break. I guess the reason I'm saying that is because I had a flat tire just a while ago, a couple weeks back, and a pothole wasn't there the last time I went by. God will eliminate all those little aggravating pitfalls for mankind. But he's going to require obedience. He's going to say, you're not thinking right in your mind now. Stop thinking like that. Change your mind. And the church is dealing with that in the kingdom. We're going to be able to read someone's mind? I don't know. But God can do it. Fallen angels tried to trip up Christ, didn't they? Tried to cause him all kinds of problems. What would he do? As a perfect man, he knew he needed to talk to the Father. So he'd go by himself and he'd pray. Do we do that? Sure. We stop at night and we kneel down before we go to bed. And, Lord, forgive me. I didn't do very well today. Or thank you, Lord. You really gave me a nice experience. The ups and downs of understanding what a new creature has to do. The school of Christ, that's what you're in. The earth will abide forever. The scriptures say it. Psalms 115, verse 16 reads, "The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men." And Matthew 5:5 says, "Blessed are the meek." What are they going to do? They're going to inherit it. "For they shall inherit the earth." Are you meek? Yes. Are you pushy? Are you quiet and squeamish? That's the adversary doing all that to us, isn't it? Oh, I know the answer. I started to realize, you know, if I know the answer, why am I still here? There's something more for us to do, isn't there? If we have children, raise your children up. Teach them this. Show them the way to go. The first world, then, which we began at the time of creation, ended at the flood. And the second world, according to the apostles, beginning after the flood, comes to an end in the beginning of what he calls the day of the Lord. This day of the Lord begins with the return of Christ. By himself, head and body. The church. It's referred to by Jesus himself as the days of the Son of Man. Jesus explains that in the days of the Son of Man, conditions will be similar to what they were in the days of Noah. Stressful time. Genesis 6:11 describes that time. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." How does it look now? Does that describe it? You know, I teach and teachers say, "Gee, this is getting harder and harder and harder." And I ask them, "What's the hard part?" "Oh, this child this and this child that." The hard part, brethren, is there's a breakdown in the family unit. And those children don't have two parents. And the one parent they do have goes to work and grandma's taking care of the kids. See what the adversary is doing? Marriage. Oh, well, I said I do, but I don't want to anymore. That's the way the world thinks. If we make a contract, brethren, we better live up to that contract until we die. And the most important contract we make is when we understand the plan of God and say, yes, I would like to be a prospective member of the body of Christ. And all of a sudden, you have changed your mind. Your mind has changed. And you feel compassion and caring. And then you've got to change the way you do things, don't you? Jesus was demonstrating that, showing that to the apostles. They couldn't understand what to do until they received the Holy Spirit. You have it. You made that consecration. You love the truth. You'll give everything for it. God knows it. So I'm going to need you to go help those sisters get to that convention. Yeah? Put them in your car and take them up there. And, you know, stop along the way, get them an ice cream cone. Sometimes we confound it. We make it too much, don't we? We keep it simple. Jesus, when he talked to people, they didn't understand him because he was talking in perfection. And we're striving for that, brethren. So when we look into the scriptures, one brother looks and talks to us and says, oh, I see this in there. And another one says, I see that. And when we start putting all the information together and we go home from the convention, gee, look at all the things that we can place in that scripture that help us to understand what God wants us to do. Because he's telling us in this textbook what to do. Genesis 6:11 describes that time. It says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And in Luke 17:26-27, there are Jesus' words. Let's look that up, brethren. Read it out of the Bible. Luke. Once you get bifocals, does that mean soon you're going to get trifocals? Because I'm going like this. Luke 17. I cut my finger a couple years ago, and I don't have feeling in that one that turns the pages in the Bible because they're real thin. Can't turn them right. Luke 17:26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Verse 27, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. They weren't listening, were they? The scriptures explain the days of the Lord. It comes as a thief in the night, and the people won't be aware of the importance of the events until the trouble of the day brings about the overthrow of this present evil world. Galatians 1, 3 and 4. Galatians 1, 3 and 4. Grace and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus. Paraphrasing, that he might deliver us from the present evil world. Sounds like part of a prayer, doesn't it? The end of the world of today will not mean the end of the human race. It won't mean that. And I know I have people that I work with and so on, and they shake their head because they know I like to read the Bible and so on. I don't preach to them. But they know I can't mix with them very well. We're peculiar, aren't we? We don't fit in. But we smile and we sit down with them and we try to encourage them and try to help them because they're afraid. Aren't they? I'm going to lose this or lose that. Or Jesus walked this earth and he didn't own anything. He didn't have anything. He didn't have a house. God took care of him. The end of the world of today will not mean the end of the human race. No, it will mean the beginning of a new world. The world of tomorrow, God's world. Whose world is this? It's the adversary's world. You go out the door and leave here, brethren, he's going to try to steer you crooked right away. But in here, he can't get in. We won't let him. One of the chief characteristics of the world of yesterday and the world of today is that they have been based upon selfishness. Me first. And Satan has been their ruler. The end of today's world and the beginning of tomorrow's world, Satan will be bound. I wonder what that's going to feel like. And that new world will come under a new arrangement. 2 Peter 3:13. 2 Peter 3:13. And I wrote it down out of the Diaglot. But we, according to his promise, are looking for new heavens and a new earth. And what's there? In which dwelleth righteousness. I better write a talk on righteousness now. So that we can focus on that idea. Are you placed in positions on this earth sometimes when people want you to agree with them all the time? Can we? No. So what do? We get quiet. And if they persist, we have an answer for them. But they don't like it because they don't understand it. Their mind is not attuned to the plan of God. But we can't go where they are. Even if we care about them deeply. Under the leadership of the adversary, the spirit of selfishness became dominant at the very beginning of the world yesterday. Sin and selfishness continued to dominate that first world, with the result that just before its end, the earth was filled with violence. The same has been true of the world today. There's never enough police. We can't control it, but God will. How do we get through, brethren? Anybody get tripped up on the way here? Anybody have a detour? We stop, we bow our head and pray. And we know the direction to go. We were in a gas station down there by Winnipeg. And I said to the man, I can't get on the highway if I just go out of your gas station and turn that way. And he said, go this way. And we went through a nice neighborhood. And it curved around and there were nice homes there. The grass was mowed. And we got to an open field And he said, when you get to the field, turn right. And when we turned right, there was the road. The Lord shows us the way. Are there people who are kind and caring? Yeah. Do they need to hear the plan of God? I wish I'd have had a little book to hand it. Because there's a lot of great little books on that table back there we need to hand out, brother. The Dawn Princeton. They're wonderful lessons. I got my neighbor looking at him. He comes home from work and his eyebrow goes up and I said, what? And he says, well, this God and Reason book, I was reading it. He'll go on for an hour. I don't tell him anything. I just listen to him. And then when he's done, I said, did you believe it? He said, it made a lot of sense. I could find it in my Bible. We don't know who's the next one God needs, but he needs some more because we're not done. At the end of today's world and the beginning of tomorrow's, we'll see that Satan will be bound. The new world will come under a new arrangement. And we look at 2 Peter 3:13 and it says, but we, according to his promise, are looking for the new heavens and the new earth in which dwells righteousness. So many places where we can find that in the New Testament. Under the leadership of the adversary, the spirit of selfishness became dominant at the very beginning of the world of yesterday. Dominant at the very beginning. Sin and selfishness continued to dominate the first world with the result that just before it ended, the earth was filled with violence. The same has been true of the world of today. We are already witnessing the disorder of the present world. I wondered what Noah must have felt like. Just him and his family and some animals. And God, no, we got to wipe this clean here. This won't work. Is that what he's going to do to this earth? I don't think so. We are already witnessing disorder in this present world, and its destruction is being brought about by the violence of the great time of trouble talked about by the prophet Daniel, Daniel 12:1, 12th chapter and first verse. You know these scriptures, brother. God's world of tomorrow will be under the leadership of Christ. Psalm 72, verses 1 through 20. And I'll let you look at that. You make a note and you can read it. Our Lord will rule on the basis of love. The selfishness will not exist that exists now. The me first. The Apostle Peter speaks of this world as one wherein dwelleth righteousness. 2 Peter 3:13. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 25 and 26. 1 Corinthians 15, 25 and 26. This time when righteousness and love will lead to life is future. A time described as the reign of Christ that brings all enemies under his feet. You've heard that in discourses. All enemies. The last enemy being destroyed? Death. I hope I'm not on this earth, but if I am, I want to go wake up my 9-year-old daughter Amy. You see the emotion that has, brethren? God knows. God knows your emotions. We have wonderful speakers, and they get up here and they can give us lessons out of the Bible, and we have to take those and use them. Those are our sword. No more death. What a gift that is. Is that going to wake the world of mankind up? I think so. You see resurrections? They're going to have to change, aren't they? It's going to be tough for some of them, isn't it? I don't think God's going to let too many go, but he's going to have to let go if they won't fall in line. And we know this. You're hurting me, you know that, don't you? Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Give me thine heart. Gee, I want to write this into a talk, and I just can't seem to get the thought and do it with your heart. Take care of your family with your heart. Part of my family, they know the truth, but they didn't grasp a hold of it. But I so love them. And that's true of a lot of us, brethren. I'm going to keep telling them about it. Jeremiah 29:13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. While the first two worlds mentioned by the Apostle Peter, 2 Peter 3:5-6, have been in Satan's control, the rulership in the affairs of men is reserved for God's world of tomorrow. This doesn't mean that God hasn't been interested in mankind during this time. He has been steadily carrying forward the preparation phases of his plan, making all things ready to take over the government and to bless all the families of the earth in his own due time, not ours. Genesis 12:3 and Ephesians 1:10. Old Testament, New Testament. God's word is his promise and his instructions to his people. They will be accomplished. There's nothing in the scriptures to indicate that any important changes were made in God's methods of dealing with his people during the first world of yesterday. During that time, important promises were given, like Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. It's not until after the flood that God's plan begins to show a clear picture. God dealt with the patriarchs after the flood. The fathers of Israel were leaders that at that time until Jacob's death and the beginning of the nation of Israel and Jacob's 12 sons, things were revealed. God spoke to Abraham and made promises to him, blessing all the families of the earth. We are told that God called Abraham in Isaiah 51:2, Genesis 12:1. And during the patriarchal age, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And the interesting thought here is that our Lord Jesus promised a more tolerable time for the people of these cities. He's going to take care of them. Our Heavenly Father leaves no one out. God promises to bless all the families of the earth through the seed of Abraham, and that includes, brethren, everyone. The only way you're not included is if you leave yourself out. That's what we're going to have to show the world. And I get to talk one more time. May the Lord add his blessing.